B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Well, a man is accused of ordering three teenagers out of a community pool area, and to prove his point, he fired a gun at them. Authorities said Richard Marcel confronted a group of teens at a community pool. The pool is for residents, and authorities said that one of the teens who lives in the community had two friends with him as guests at the time of the incident.
Well, that seems like a gun offense.
Police said the teens were not aware Marcel had a gun in his left hand. Surveillance images show a man identified as Marcel holding the weapon while on the pool deck.
Get out of the pool.
Deputy said Marcel pulled a handgun out and fired a round into the ground next to the group. Authorities say that Marcel's a member of the Homeowners Association.
Never thought to say skedaddle.
And told the teens that he was enforcing pool hours and that the pool area closed at sunset. But officials said the teens told Marcel that they were staying after they noticed a sign that read the pool closed at 10 p.m. and it was only 9 p.m. And Marcel said, "No, you are not," and then he shot at them.
Wow. It's a very militant homeowners association.
Officials said the HOA did change the pool area hours, but you know what? They hadn't alerted the homeowners or posted the new hours.
Then the kids were right.
They just didn't tell anybody.
He was about to go get the tank, Preston.
Police said the teens were stunned when asked if Marcel really shot at them. And Marcel allegedly said, and I quote, "Yes, I am putting my own life at risk." Who puts these idiots in charge?
You have a gun?
Yeah.
Okay. We're putting you there. You're our pool guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, what do you have? I have a samurai sword. Okay. You'll run all our picnics.
Marcel's neighbor said that he does a lot for them, saying
sure
that
he does.
He's not the kind of person to carry a gun or threaten children, but police said surveillance images suggest otherwise.
I wonder if there's like a little sticky on that particular gun that says pool gun.
Right. Exactly. A man was dashed to the hospital after he shot himself in the penis. Peter Jacobson's alleged 22 caliber gun dropped out of his pocket, hit the ground, and fired on a busy street on Wednesday.
Oh, my balls!
And the bullet hit the man's manhood while he was in Lincoln, Nebraska. He has had treatment in the hospital to gruesome injuries to his genitals.
Gruesome.
The man remains in a non-life-threatening condition in the hospital, but has been charged with various offenses.
Do you think that's how the doctor presents it to him? Oh, I've seen your sack, and it's gruesome.
Police believe that he was simply walking the streets when the gun fell out of his pocket.
No holster.
Jacobson had been charged on suspicion of discharging a firearm in the city and possession of a deadly weapon by a prohibited person. Now, in March, a 46-year-old man shot himself in his penis after his pistol fell out of his waistband in another unfortunate accident.
He was going to a convention of pool security guards.
It seems to be happening quite a bit lately, actually, that people are shooting themselves in the penis.
My favorite footage is of the guy doing the flip at the wedding.
Oh, my God.
The FBI agent.
With a gun in his pocket.
Police in Winnipeg say, Case, you'll love this.
Yeah.
One of their officers was zapped in the face with a stun gun while he and another officer tried to arrest a suspected car thief. In the face! Officers were stopped by a group of people who told them a male was trying to steal a nearby vehicle and was inside it kicking at the windshield. Police say the officer found the suspect inside the car, but he locked the doors and refused to come out. The owner of the vehicle eventually unlocked the car, but police say the suspect still refused to exit, and he fought with the officers when they tried to arrest him. They said the officers tried to taser the suspect, but he was able to get his finger onto the trigger and allegedly zapped one of the officers in the face before they finally subdued him. Yeah, so.
I saw something on the internet. It looked like it was like taser rugby. Have you guys seen this?
No,
at all?
But I'm intrigued.
Okay. Well, we'll investigate it after this.
All right.
Okay. A video taken by a bystander shows the two officers struggling with the suspect on the pavement outside of the car while the clicking of the energy weapon is audible. Police say they believe the recent drug use may have played a role in the incident, and both officers later attended a hospital for treatment of their injuries. For the injuries that they had sustained.
Sometimes those tasers don't work. I've seen cases where they have a guy and they'll fire two tasers at him. Nothing.
Yep.
They're so strung out on something.
Yep.
Has no effect.
Now, I only bring this up because a funny name is involved in this.
That's all we need sometimes.
The University of Texas Police Department is actively investigating an indecent exposure incident near the West J.J. Pickle Research Campus.
West J.J. Pickle Research?
That is correct. So if you're going to whip your schlong out,
yes,
you do it at the Pickle Research Campus.
Seems appropriate.
The witness stated that a man approached her in the Circle Drive off of the Mopac frontage road to ask for directions. And while speaking with the man, she says he exposed himself. The witness immediately called 911. The suspect was described as a white male in his 30s with shaved brown hair and a thin build. Hanging out in front of the Pickle Research Department.
Absolutely. All right.
Let's see. How about this one? A man with a service dog was taken into custody and then hospitalized Saturday after he bit a Cleveland police officer. Not the dog, the man.
The man.
Yes. The incident happened at Cleveland Hopkins International Airport.
Fido, police, you do it like this.
Police were called to assist TSA. With the man who was being disruptive, the man became combative and bit one of the officers. Police did not say where the officer was bit. He was taken into custody and admitted to the medical center for an evaluation. Police took a service dog to the city's kennel. The incident is still under investigation, and the officer was not seriously hurt. All right, and then we'll do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. And this is on the heels of the Kentucky Derby. If you're interested, you can pay $200 for a jar of poop from the 1997 Kentucky Derby winner, Silver Charm.
How exciting.
The jars by Kentucky for Kentucky went on sale May 1st. The Lexington Herald Leader reports artist Coleman Larkin is the mastermind behind the expensive crap. Sales from the Derby Turds will go toward old Friends Farm in Georgetown, a thoroughbred retirement facility Silver Charm calls home. Newspaper says supply of the resin-coated feces is limited. Larkin says the most difficult part of the creative project is asking the type of people that own million-dollar thoroughbreds if I can please have some horse turds to put in jars.
I have a jelly jar at home full of some of Willie Shoemaker's semen.
No way.
Yeah. Wow. And we just love that. We're very proud of it.
One of the all-time great jockeys.
One of the greats.
Jockeys,
yeah, know? Yeah.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
Police in Ocala, Florida have arrested the third of four suspects wanted for forcibly tattooing a misspelled racial slur on another man's neck.
They misspelled it?
Yeah, and they forcibly tattooed him. Brandon Haley was arrested Monday on warrants for aggravated battery and armed robbery stemming from a incident involving a 41-year-old male victim. The victim, identified as Michael Hart, told investigators that Haley, also, Lucian Luke Evans, Brett Wolf Singleton, and Mary Beth Durham showed up at a home where he was staying. They allegedly told Hart that they were going to cover a gang tattoo on his neck with another one. So Evans and Haley held him down while Singleton began tattooing the neck.
His freaking neck.
The man tried to fight off the forced inking until Haley knocked him unconscious. He woke to find Durham tattooing his neck while saying, "I've never done this before." And the new tattoo read, and I told you it was misspelled.
Yes.
F-U-N-I-G-E-R. Making
Niger?
It both morally and grammatically reprehensible.
Maybe they're talking about the country.
They might be talking about the country.
Perhaps they had a bad travel experience and they lost their luggage.
In addition, the old tattoo was still visible under the new one, but the new tattoo wasn't meant to be racist, Evans told police when he and Durham were arrested last month.
It was more travel advice.
Yeah, Evans claimed that he and his accomplices were trying to discipline Hart for violating gang rules. Hart told police that when he woke up, listen to this, his phone was missing and his pants were twisted and his butt hurt.
Someone's making the ginger out.
According to the arrest report, Hart stated he was wearing blue jeans and felt something wet in his pants.
Ooh.
Hart stated that when he looked in his pants, he saw what he believed to be blood. Ooh. Michael stated that he felt like he had been sodomized but could not provide any more details.
This is very unpleasant.
Yeah, Haley Evans and Durham remain in the Marion County Jail while Singleton remains at large. This is a tragic story. It's terrible. I don't know how this happened. A 16-year-old boy died while hiking with a Boy Scout group this past Saturday in Arizona. The medical examiner's office confirmed the teen's identity as Joshua White. The teen was hiking with the group to the top of Picacho Peak between Phoenix and Tucson. The group had water, but they ran out when they got to the top of the mountain. On the hike down, the teen began to exhibit signs of extreme dehydration.
Oh,
members of the group called for help, and emergency responders attempted to resuscitate the boy, but they were unsuccessful. He was pronounced dead at the scene.
Oh, no. He died of dehydration? How many hours were they out?
I don't know.
How the hell?
I looked for details on this, on how something like that could
happen. Quickly?
Yeah.
You would think that you could ration that stuff out, and usually dehydration doesn't come on that.
You can go quickly. A couple of days. Not much more, but you can go a couple of days. Now, yeah. Now, mind you, at different altitudes, the dehydration can affect you, but yeah. It's not like they were at the top of Everest.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Nick, when I hike, I have a camelback with me. It's like 3 liters or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if that's enough. You know, when you're
in the desert and it's hot, it might not be.
Actually, when I did Mount Washington last year, I actually had to fill it. When I was about 5,000 feet up, I had to fill the whole thing, yeah.
Terrible story. All right, moving on to something lighter. A driver in South Carolina was on Highway 501 near Lake Busby on Tuesday when a turtle crashed through his sedan's windshield.
Ooh. Damn it, those flying turtles.
Authorities say that the animal was launched into the air after a truck struck the animal with its rear tire, and the thing flew up and, boom, went right through the windshield.
That sucks.
Unfortunately, the turtle died upon impact, but the driver of the car wasn't injured, just
I like turtles.
Covered in glass. The driver estimates repairs to the vehicle will cost around $2,000.
The poor freaking turtle's like, what?
Yep, totally.
Did you say the turtle died?
The turtle died.
Did you say the turtle? Okay.
Yes. Long Island police say a plot to build a bomb and detonate it at a high school has resulted in the arrest of 3 students and seizure of a how-to manual for making explosives at the home of one of them. Police announced the arrest Thursday, saying the administrator at Conaquat High School called to report several students had overheard the 3 16-year-olds, 2 boys and a girl, discussing the plot on a school bus after class on Wednesday. The school was evacuated. Police searched for any signs of explosives. They said a surveillance camera on the bus recorded the bomb plot discussion. An officer said they discussed the operation they planned on executing. It's explicit. It goes on for about 20 minutes. They weren't whispering. They were speaking openly, thankfully.
Well, thank God they're stupid.
And listen to this. After searching the homes, police said they found no bomb-making material, but they did recover the anarchist's cookbook. So it's got all the directions you need in there.
For years, that used to be, you know. Actually, the bookstore I worked at for a few years carried it.
Mm-hmm. Did they?
Oh, yeah. I don't think you can even get that on Amazon or anything these days. I think they've pretty much gotten rid of that. I mean, it used to be very popular.
The publisher can still sell it. I read recently. The guy who wrote it has since denounced it, and he passed away a few years ago. But
places don't have to carry it.
Yeah. Defense attorney representing one of the boys told the paper the book was in his client's possession for a science project and had nothing to do with the allegations, but these kids were talking about blowing up the school.
So do they have recording devices on buses?
I guess some of them do, Steve. Yeah. I'm not familiar with the majority of them or not.
It'd be smart to do it just also for safety's sake.
Well, yeah. All right, and then let me see if I can find a quick story to end with here because we're running out of time. Yeah, let's end with this one. Romance comes in all different forms.
Love.
And Welsh farmer Sean Thomas popped the question to his partner, Alice Green, using a painted cow.
Oh.
He used washable paint to write, "Alice, marry me," with a heart onto the family's shorthorn show cow. Thomas said that he thought the idea was perfect as they both live on a dairy farm, and Green reportedly burst into tears upon
him. You're a freaking idiot.
Seeing the painted cow.
I would marry you if you were the last man on earth.
You're so stupid.
He wrote it on a cow.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.